fucking work. That's why I work as a Jew and roll my butt and I get a limousine stuck out there a mile long.
All right. Thank you for listening and watching the ESBC Podcast Network as we finish up our series. We got one more podcast after this, as we will bring in a former Miss Miami, current executive in the healthcare industry, to kind of give us to sum up, to help us sum up, and give us some perspective, give us kind of a different opinion. We've had Dr. Gardner's opinion when we started off the podcast. He took a racist turn. I kicked him off. Right. And we're looking at this Trump Nation's Nine from a non-political point of view. We're looking at the evidence and letting us know where the evidence is taking us. Right. And the ground rules are, because you can have your own opinion, but you can't have your own facts. And what are facts? So for us, facts are things that have been proven to be true. And how do you prove something true? You do it with direct evidence, right? And what is direct evidence? How do you prove something? You look with video, with corroboration, right? Documentation that's corroborated and contemporaneous, right? Eyewitness testimony is the least credible form of evidence, right? So you need a lot of corroboration, contemporaneous corroboration from many sources to validate and to make real evidence this eyewitness testimony, okay? So with that being said, in the last episode, we looked at the people who got arrested, right? And who participated in the riots, who were not part of law enforcement in the military. But as we speak, more people are getting arrested and there's more data. And what we'll do is we are going to take all the transcripts and we're going to write them up and we're going to add links to them. They're going to be on the website. So you will have comprehensive. You'll have more information than what you normally would have. Okay. So you will have more information than what you normally would have from anywhere. You're going to have different information that you haven't had anywhere else. All right. So we're going to go in this episode, right? We are going to look at the political leadings and more information than you ever could have or ever wanted to have about the people of the Rosicrucians. What is it that they believe? Other than what we've discussed previously, that they believe in less government, they want the government off their back. They're against liberal victimization, right? They are against free health care and free college for somebody who just got here from Guatemala, right? They hate all that. But on top of that, there's deeper leanings that we'll look at in this episode as well. Now, and then in the last episode with our guest, Janet Foster, former Miss Miami, right? In that episode, we'll wrap everything up. and we'll look at her perspective. We'll have a different perspective to kind of wrap it all up. And as the series combines, we'll have a preview episode. And there'll be two episodes I did with Sarah Lynn Robinson, right? She's an actress now in New York. She used to be in LA. And she provided a lot of perspective last year, around this time last year. So it's going to be, once the document is put together, a podcast, transcripts, insights, right, from non-Don Lemon, Tucker Carlson types, real people doing real academic research, but cultural research, and just people on the street, logic and information. So you get a real cultural, deep, entertaining, comprehensive details of who Trump voters are and who rushed the Capitol. And you get insights and things you cannot get anywhere else because we're independent, right? We're independent and we do not have a political axe to grind. So when you look at their political worldview, now, before we get into their political worldview, Dr. Gardner, former mayor of Lake Forest, PhD, psychotherapy, had a lot of businesses, got successfully recalled one of his colleagues there. He talked about the links between serial killers and people that rush the Capitol. Now, doing further research, consulting with psychotherapist, licensed in California, managers of clinics, did a deep dive into serial killers. And serial killers, because of DNA evidence, because of cameras, because of social media, their business has died down. So even though 40% of serial killers are still out there and never get caught, they're getting away with a lot less crimes. But what is their pathology, right? And what is their link to people that rush the Capitol? Now, in the last episode as well, we detailed anti-personality disorder. And we looked at seven items that link people that rush the Capitol through their social media, through what they got arrested for, through newspaper articles that they've written, and their own public statements. We linked antisocial personality disorder, which the actual criteria is on the episode notes of the podcast. And we talked in detail about it last podcast. So usually serial killers lack empathy, of course. They have a lust for killing. And you got to remember, right, that us as humans, we're natural predators. We kill. I mean, you look at the United States, the century went from World War I to World War II to Korea to Vietnam to invading some islands when Reagan was president. And we went from invading those islands to Iran, right? Iraq twice. We invaded Iraq twice. We invaded Afghanistan to this day. So we're natural killers. We kill. That's what we do. And there's been wars since the beginning of time. We noticed this is May 28th, 2021, right? And we had a mass shooting in San Jose. And we've had 232 mass shootings and over 900 people killed. Because that's what we are as human beings. And five people were killed at the Capitol. And in the previous podcast, we talked about the nature of those killings and how they looked, right? And the fact that I've been in bar fights or ran away from bar fights where the whole bar was fighting. And it looked like the Capitol. And I've seen bar fights where police officers have been killed, where people participating have been killed. similar to what happened at the Capitol. Now, I'm not making an analogy or making a direct comparison between the two, but I am offering information and evidence that you can evaluate for yourself. And we talked about the different groups, but we'll get deeper into that today as we look at all the political alignment, right? And then kind of like the underlying factors that I've researched. And really, I've engaged with my whole life, right? I remember working with a guy from Georgia, deep south, southern guy. And he said, man, these are the types that believe the man on the moon was fake. And the WWE wrestling is real, right? And of course, we had some of those types. We have Marjorie Taylor Greene. That is one of those types. We have people that are prone to believing in delusions and conspiracy theories, right? So with that being said, those are paranoid delusionals, right? So when we looked at anti-personality disorders, where we looked at people who might be paranoid delusional, we used the DSM, right? Which is the dialectical statistical model for disorders. And that's what we use to educate ourselves on possible pathologies of people who invaded the Capitol. Now, we are not psychotherapists like my wife. My wife's been a psychotherapist for 17 years, and we're not psychotherapists like the people I interviewed. However, right, it gives us insight and gives us real possibilities to the pathology of these folks. So one thing I would like to touch on is something Marjorie Taylor Greene, right? So people listen to this podcast 5 years from now. She might not be around, but she is a congresswoman from Georgia, far right. And we'll talk about in this podcast, what is far right? What is alt-right? What is domestic violent extremists? What is domestic far-right extremists, right? And their political worldviews. We'll talk about China, their view of China, right? But one central tenet of right-wing groups, in addition to what we've detailed the past podcast, is their hatred of Jews. Their belief, and this is actually true. You can look it up, the Library of Congress online. But in 1913, Woodrow Wilson convened illegally three senators, but they did it, and they made the Federal Reserve private, right? So, and who owns it, right? Who are the five families that own it? One of them are the Rothschilds, which is a Jewish family that has deep roots in the India Trading Company. And then the India Trading Company was a huge, right? It was the first huge bank corporation that we see now all through Wall Street. And, you know, the Rothschilds are a Jewish family. And that brought on a lot of conspiracy theories and a lot of, they control the banking system. So when you look at the economics of it, people who rush the Capitol, people middle-aged, white people who are divorced, one item too that we can cross is their level of intelligence. Most of them are high school people, but they've done well in the richest country in the world, right? So they hate Jews because they control the banking system, and they blame their lack of economic success on the Jews, right? Whatever you do, don't put the blame on you. So with Marjorie Taylor Greene, says that wearing a mask is similar to the Holocaust. She knows what she's doing. She's raising money from these people, people versus capital, far-right groups who are anti-Semitic. Okay? Again, this podcast is about the politics and the worldview of people who rush the Capitol. So because Rothschilds, one of the five families that own the Federal Reserve Bank, they have a grudge against the Jews, right? So I don't know what it, but there's a lot of hypocrisy involved because you think of Jared Kushner, right? Jared Kushner is the son-in-law of Donald Trump and is Jewish. Another topic we'd like to discuss. When we hear rufflings, it's me going through my notes here. China, all right? So China, one thing to note, right, is the deficit, right? Because of, in the minds of people that rush the Capitol, liberal victimization, they feel that the deficit is increasing. And again, adding negative economic pressure to them. Now, the way it works, and I have an MBA, and I have a master's of business science, and I have successful three businesses, right? So I'm qualified to offer an opinion as to the bottom line, what's going down with deficits. So reading Barron's, reading The Economist, several articles. The bottom line is that because of the strength of our military, the United States has the most secure banking system. So even the most hardened, well, not even the most hardened, they fight against the less hardened communists, right? Either Chinese Communist Party or the Russian Communist Party. There's people there that buy real estate, which is a $26 trillion market. And the stock market is a $16 trillion market with a T, right? They invest in American stocks. They invest in American real estate. And they store their money in the United States because the United States has the best, the most secure banking system. So how do you tie that into the deficit? The way you tie it into the deficit is that because of that influx of money in our banks, right, we can borrow at a very low interest rate. So the interest rates are rock bottom. So this is the best time for the American government to borrow at a very low interest rate. In a way, it's like the United States borrowing from themselves because people are storing this money here and we secure it up to $100,000. No other country in the world does that, right? So that's why the deficit's not an issue. However, and the Republicans have been hypocritical, right? That's why, you know, Republican crime, and that's why far-right, alt-right people aren't necessarily Republicans, and they, you know, come up with the rhino, right? Republican in name only. You're not Republican if you want to increase the deficit. But Republicans always increase the deficit. They did it through SALT and then with a tax cut. They knew what's going to increase the deficit, but they didn't care because not really, none of these people are really paying attention. Then during the Bush years, the deficit exploded through defense spending. But at the end of the day, from an academic economic standpoint, deficits are irrelevant. Deficits do not matter, but they do matter to the people that rush the Capitol. So China has a long-term plan to take over the world. They feel their culture is superior. They have a horrible, weak army. So they have to do espionage, and they have to bribe American politicians. And they have to work through espionage. But espionage is hard for them because who's the Chinese spy, right? The guy with the slanted eyes or the girl with the slanted eyes. So espionage is hard for them. Their military sucks. They tried to fight Vietnam a few years back, and Vietnam kicked their ass. And they went into China and took parts of China that the UN made them take it back. But the Chinese, they're like almost like the Arab military. They get their ass kicked and they lose quick. So they can't, they know they cannot fight the US. So you have COVID-19, which evidence is leading us to believe that COVID-19 was a biological weapon used by China. And it wasn't really used, it probably leaked out because they're very incompetent too with science. They can't invent anything, all they can do is steal from us, and that's part of their espionage from everybody else. But still, they want to take over the world and feel they're the superior culture, right? A lot of dichotomies and hypocrisies and complicated things in life, right? So in finance, anything that's two or more is complicated. So there's two or more layers and factors to China. But when you look at the worldview, the people that rush the Capitol, they hate globalism, and they hate China. America first, high tariffs, right? And again, America first, because people feel disenfranchised, and they feel that Mexicans crossing the border are impeding their economic success, folks that rush the war. And this is the worldview of the people that rush the war. So they hate Jews. They think because Rothschild controls the banking system, right? They hate China, right? And discussed, we broke down China. And right from the get-go, and we're noticing it with people that got arrested, right? So people that got arrested usually aren't the brightest stars in the world. Even though some folks that got arrested were kids that were doing really well at the university, right? Some people are just drywall people, people who've done trades, lower level contractors. However, we'll talk about it in the next podcast with Denise Foster, former Miss Miami. Now she's an executive in the healthcare industry, and she's on the Democrat Central Committee. Assembly, I think 76. We'll talk about people who funded this, right? So there's big money donors, really intelligent people who laid down millions of dollars to kind of fund the operation. But there's a lot of underground people too, right? So if you have a nonprofit and you're the Proud Boys, 3%ers or groups like this, you have to. And a lot of the law enforcement involved who didn't get caught, because they never get caught. How do drugs get to jail, right? Through law enforcement. Now, putting my economics hat on as an MBA, is you cannot have an economy without having an underground, without having prostitution, drug sales, what have you, right? And who's the link to that, right? The police. And there's a lot of successful rich cops who worked in this underground environment their whole life, either through as a participant in a police gang or nationwide police consortium with gangs and biker gangs and judges and so on and so forth, or they worked narcotics the whole time, right? Or they worked in these underground economies. So up to 10% of an economy for it to be successful has to be an underground economy, right? Because the underground economy, again, we get back to the deficit in the economy and the price of the dollar, right? The price of the dollar, having a lot of deposits in from foreign entities, from foreign people, and then being able to borrow against that at a low rate, making the deficit irrelevant. So to help with that liquidity, you need underground mentality and you need underground people. So when you listen to these people talk, when you listen to the guy who put his feet on Pelosi's desk and didn't care if he got arrested because he's committed so many crimes. He knows how to work the underground world. He didn't care, right? So those are the politics involved. These people do not, even though they're supposed to abide by the Constitution, they do not care about breaking laws, and they view the laws from a different angle, from a different political worldview than most people, right? And then you hear the three percenters. Remember, the three percenters are analogous to the three percenters who revolted against the British when the U.S. government was formed, the 1770s, and the Tea Party, right? A big central part of the political worldview of Trump voters and people who rush the Capitol is, again, liberal victimization. They were overtaxed, taxation without representation, and we have the right to take arms and to beat down whoever we need to beat down to get it back to the point where there's the correct taxation and there's the correct culture in place that isn't a liberal victimization culture. Think of the NASCAR crowd, right? And then you got to look at the racial element as well, right? Make America white again, right? It's analogous to make America great again, right? So they're both tied together, both part of the worldview, both part of the culture. And as Matt Gaetz will tell you, in the Second Amendment says that you have the right to bear arms and kill people to get to that point, that cultural point, right? The correct taxation with a correct representation. The funny part of it is that all these states, all these red states, small states, where a lot of these people come from, they actually benefit from the liberal coast of the East and West paying actual, by percentage, more taxes in to support these poor states. But again, they're poor, so they have to have a system. They have to have reasons to blame someone else. Because like the song says, whatever you do, do not put the blame on you, right? And even though they talk about accountability, they talk about not having entitlements or not having, you know, not entitled to anything. At the same time, right? It's a dichotomy. It's a hypocrisy. At the same time, they feel entitled to a certain economic level. And they blame, right? They're blaming. Even though they feel that people should stand on their own two feet and people are responsible for their own lives, they're blaming their lack of success in life on all of these things we've detailed in the last couple of podcasts. This podcast focuses on their politics and the worldview. Next podcast, we're going to talk about voter suppression and that. So it's very interesting. As you go through all these podcasts and we go through all this data dump and all this information, right, all this comprehensive information we have, you notice that there's a lot of layers involved. But when you piece it all together, we have given you a complete picture, right, of who these people are, why they vote the way they do, their political world view, what has transpired through their lives, and their deep thinking into the political world view, especially from a macro point of view. As you go in micro, you get into specific conspiracy theories and delusions like QAnon with pedophiles and conspiracies with CNN. There's a lot to mention. However, we've tied it in through, you know, anti-personality disorders, what goes through the DSM, and list them out in the next podcast. And paranoid schizophrenics and antipersonality disorder, all those traits that causes those specific conspiracy theories, they kind of change through the years and months, right, to fit a narrative. And in the first podcast, we kind of detailed kind of the game plan for the conspiracy theories. So very, very fortunate, lucky, and good. We've been able to give you detail on the political worldview of the alt-right, domestic violent extremists, domestic extremists, and where their thinking comes from a traditional and cultural point of view. Next podcast, very excited, getting a different kind of little point of view. There'll be a little back and forth. You know somebody's honest when you can agree to disagree, all right? So we'll be back tomorrow with the last edition of Trump Nation's 10-part series, giving you all the information you need to make sense of and to break down who Trump voters are and who rushed the Capitol. And in life, you always get much more than what you give. 10x is, I guess, copyrighted, so we'll go with 12x. And I remember Sir Winston Churchill, who got us through the last major catastrophic event in Western civilization history, World War II. He said, "We make a living from our labor, but we make a life from what we give." That's why we're giving you all this free information, so you're more educated and you have a clear path where to point for to do your own research and come back at us with what you think. So we all understand, we're all American, and we all work together. Because remember, a house divided can't stand, as Abraham Lincoln said. Thank you for listening to the ESBC Podcast Network.